Acts 14, verses 1 to 7. Acts 14, verses 1 to 7. I'll begin reading on verse 1, and then you join with me every other verse, ending in verse 7. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Gentiles, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. You can read verse 7 with me as well. And there they preached the gospel. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit, fill every listener with your spirit, be glorified in all of it. And just direct in this meeting now, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and we'll let you be seated. Proverbs 28 and verse 1, God's word says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's my theme this afternoon, or this morning, is bold as a lion. We are in the middle of Paul's first missionary journey. What a journey it's been. And it continues. And he is coming now, they are coming now to the city of Iconium. Now, Iconium is located to the southeast of Antioch. It's about 140 kilometers away. Iconium would be much like Vancouver in this way. Iconium was a melting pot of culture. It's such a beautiful time, isn't it, to live here in Canada, a beautiful time to live in, especially Vancouver, and there's other cities like Vancouver in Canada, but we know that live here that we have so much of a melting pot of all cultures from all over the world. And it's really a wonderful opportunity. You could look at it, and maybe that it brings challenges. And it does in some ways, but I choose to look at it that it's very exciting because it gives us the opportunity to give the God to give the gospel and the message of God's love to people that we would never ever probably have an opportunity to meet because we can't go to all those countries that have come to this one country. But that is much like Iconium. There was a mix of Greeks, there was a mix of Jews, Syrian merchants, and Roman colonists. And so there was just a conglomeration of culture. It was a dusty place, a dirty place. It was really not a whole lot. It was a decent-sized city, but not really a metro city, if you will. And but what we learn right away in our reading today is that there was a great need for something within Iconium. Obviously, the gospel, the truth, the preaching. But in order to be effective, there was going to need to be boldness. Now, this isn't the first time that we've come across the theme of boldness in the book of Acts. Would you go back with me to one verse? And that is the book, chapter 4, in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 13. And, of course, in the beginning of the book of Acts, we were looking primarily at the ministry of who? Do you remember? Peter. And now there's been a transition made a couple of weeks ago, and now we're primarily looking at the ministry of who? Paul. And but yet both of these men, the Bible tells us that they exhibited the quality that I need and that you need today of boldness. Look at Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. How could somebody unlearned and ignorant be like this? It was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. It was the power of God on their life. By the way, boldness was not within them on their themselves. It was a boldness that they tapped into from God. It was a boldness that we can have in our life today as well. And so they saw that they were not educated men. They saw that they were unlearned. They saw that they were not typical religious people. These guys had been around a bunch of smelly fish. How in the world could they speak like this? How in the world could they go from being a fisherman, really kind of a lowly, I mean, these were not religious people. These were not the scribes. These were not the Pharisees. These were not the ones that had been learned in the law, taught in the law. Boy, and that's why it says that they marveled. Because, you know, as we are preaching the gospel, it's not about us. It should be that they marvel not at who we are, but as Christ is working in and through us. How in the world did that come out of you? You know, the backgrounds and the testimonies that we have, and yet we can have the power of God in our life because we're a new creature. We are a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says they took knowledge of them. What was the knowledge they took of them? It says it right there. This is the key. This is the key to boldness. They took knowledge of them that they had been with They were unlearned, they were ignorant, but they had been with Jesus. They were smelly fishermen, but they had been with Jesus. They were sinners saved by grace. They were the low, maybe. They weren't educated. They didn't have all the bells and whistles mentally and all of that. And yet they had been with Jesus, and so you couldn't help but marvel at their boldness because they had been with the Lord. Here it is again, the Holy Spirit repeats it so often because it's truly a part of the early church, and it's also because we need to know about it. And here we see it again in Acts 14. If you'll turn to our text once again, in Acts 14, it says that in verse number 3 that they spake boldly in the Lord. This boldness is a basic ingredient to the life of the Christian. This boldness is going to come out of a walk with God, and it is imperative that we have this boldness. And Paul and Barnabas, we learned a few weeks ago, they were ushered out of Antioch, Pisidia. We talked about them last week, right? That city. Looks, if you'll just glance back up to verse 51, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them. And came unto where? Iconium. You know, a lot of times it's difficult when you're rejected, right? Who wants to be rejected, you know? Who wants to have the door slammed in their face? Well, we haven't had that happen in a while, but anyway. Who wants to, you give somebody a tract? No, I'm not religious. I don't believe in God. I don't want that stuff. You and I have seen all those types of responses. If you've been involved in trying to get the gospel out, you know, you've been rejected. It happened. And normally when rejection comes, we take it personal, and so it stings. You know what we are typically? We're a little hesitant the next time. Why? Because of the rejection. Here we see Paul and Barnabas, you know, hey, get out of here. We don't even want you in our town. And they shake the dust off their feet, and that's an analogy that we could get into another time, but we'll keep moving on. But nope, they were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. And so because they were filled with joy on the Holy Ghost, let's go to the next town. We're going down to Iconium now. And what do? The same thing. Isn't it amazing that the Christian life really is not rocket science? When I read the early church history, it's we go to one town, and what do? They go to the synagogue. They went to Antioch, Pisidia, they went to the synagogue. They go to Iconium, what do? They go to the synagogue and set up shop just like they did before. And it's kind of like a repeat of what's happening. Folks, the gospel is the power of God. We're going to talk about that into salvation. I know we know this, but the Christian life is exciting. The Christian life is thrilling. And the Christian life should be filled with joy. We should be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we've got to go out bold as a lion. And that's what we learn from these men. What do we learn? We learn they don't quit. We learn they don't turn back. This is no time to get to. This is no time to go back. This is no time to retreat. This is no time to sit down. This is no time to take it easy. As I said yesterday, missionary heroes, their bodies were laid to rest. I thought it was ironic that they were laid to rest within hours of each other. One went to Mexico and gave his life and really literally died on the mission field. Major health complications from a kidney transplant. And then an immune system got weak, and then COVID came in, and he died just short of 40 years of ministry. And then the one in Indonesia that we supported, Brother Daly, for a period of time we supported, and I had the privilege of being in their home, and he preached in this pulpit, or maybe the other pulpit, I don't remember, but he preached in the pulpit of Anchor Baptist Church years ago, and his wife was with us, Dawn, and he 80 years of age, and they're both laid to rest on the same day. Folks, this is no time for us to take it easy and take a back seat. No, we need to advance for the cause of Christ, and we need to do it boldly with compassion. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. Next up, here we go. Let's move forward. The boldness of a lion. What do we see? Number one, in our outline, we see verse one, we see powerful preaching. Powerful preaching. Again, Paul goes right to the synagogue. He goes right to the place where the Jews would be gathering together. He goes, they're going to be reading the Old Testament, and it's just the same pattern once again. But let's not miss a little word in verse one. Maybe you saw it. I have to admit, I've missed it most of my life. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the place, into the synagogue of the Jews, and what's the next word? So. You say, so what? No, don't say that. So spake. They so spake. Maybe you underline that word. Maybe you circle that word. They so spake. And then what does it say? That the multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. You know what I conclude from this? I conclude from this that there is two kinds of speaking. There is speaking, preaching, and then there is so speaking. Because it was the so speaking of why they believed. They weren't just preaching what it was that came to mind of their own way and their own will. They were so speaking. What is this so speaking? I conclude today that it is speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the kind of speaking and preaching and living that we need. Acts chapter number 4. Would you turn back there quickly? Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, And said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. It said that they preached the word of God filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The only time anybody is going to believe, the only time we are going to have any kind of response at all is when we so speak that it could happen. They so spoke, and results came. We don't speak for results. We speak for the honor and glory of God. But when the Holy Spirit of God meets with us, there will be results. There will be impact. It's all through Scripture. The Holy Spirit sweeps through. Things are going to happen. And that's what we desire. We want Him to sweep this way. It must come. The sweeping this way comes from a heart that is repentant and a heart that is humble and a heart that is pure and a heart that says, I don't want to live in such a way. I want to so live that God is glorified in it. I want to so live that I have the power to say no to sin. I want to so live that my witness is backed up not by my power, not by my might, but by the Spirit of God. That's what they did. They so spake, and because they so spake, look what happened. To me, that's a very important word there. The Spirit-empowered preaching of God's Word will see fruit. I gave it earlier, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Maybe you jot it down. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. I hope you clapped your hands out there. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. That's right. I hope you stomped your feet out there. The preaching of the cross to those that are saved, it is the power of God. You do not need to live a weak, need Christian life. You do not need to live a weak, need week this week and go to work. No, you're to go in the power of the cross this week. You're to go in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ this week with your head high, not because of who you are, but because of what Christ has done in your life. It is the power of the preaching of the cross that gives that to us. They so spoke that so many things happened. And by the way, not all of it was good in the sense of a lot of people got saved. A lot of people got right with God. A lot of people believed, as the Bible says. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do we need new methods? I will answer it right now. No, I don't think so. We don't need new methods. We need to continue with or return to so preaching and so teaching and, might I add, so living. Not everybody's all on board when the preaching goes forth, are they? So we see powerful preaching, number one. But number two, we see perpetual persecution. Power of God into salvation, but it's foolishness to them that believe not. Look at verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. They made their minds, they got in their heads. Right? That's what it means. And how about verse 4? The multitude of the city was divided. Part held with the Jews, part held with Paul and Barnabas. Verse 5. There was an assault made. Wow. Both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Whoa. You see this? They are in the synagogue, the place of worship, but the other half of the people there that are not, they're not liking this. They're getting so mad, they're getting so fired up that they're trying to see if there's any rocks in the synagogue. Or, hey, can you go out and get some rocks? Because these guys are going to pay. Look what it said there. An assault was made. This means to rush. To rush. An assault was made. They were mad and they wanted to get it done and get them out of there quickly. By the way, anytime the Word of God goes forth and the Holy Spirit comes in, yes, there will be results. But there will be opposition. There will be opposition. But we don't look and focus on that, do we? Let's not, okay? But it's there. Don't expect to go into work this week and start preaching the gospel. And I'm not saying when you're on the clock, you're to be preaching the gospel. No, when you're on the clock, you better work hard. Don't steal from your boss to preach the gospel. That's not good, okay? But you're on lunch and you start talking about the things of the Lord, and guess what's going to happen? The room's going to be divided. Just like this. The ones that agree and the ones that could care less about what you're talking about. Is it my job to try to figure out who's who and who's what? No, it's my job to plant the seed. It's your job to plant the seed. And by the way, it will be revealed who's who and who's what. Because it'll be the same reaction. Hopefully they won't start throwing rocks at you at work, okay? But there's going to be opposition. It was in Rome where people would come by the thousands to watch Christians be torn apart in the Colosseum. Why? Just because they were a Christian. Notice in verse 2 the words evil affected. Evil affected. It meant that the minds of the Gentiles were poisoned. How did this happen? The Jews, the unbelieving Jews that were there, the religious zealots, were doing everything they could to influence the public opinion of Paul. And can I just add here, parenthetically, that we need to live our lives above reproach. We, as Christians, we do need to be the hardest workers in the company. And not in a prideful way, but just because we want to bring honor and glory to God, whatever we're doing, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. We need to be the best neighbors we can be. We need to be the best at this and the best at that, not because of us, but because of the name that we bear. Because I'm telling you, the world is trying to do everything in its power to make, as it said here, to do influence the public about the opinion of those Christians. Twisting things. Let us live our lives above reproach. These people were just being used by the enemy of the gospel. Where do we go? What do we find at the root, if you will, of the gospel, of this persecution of the gospel? No, it's not a where, but it's a who. We always find Satan. Satan is always the leader of it. He's always behind the persecution of the gospel. In this case, Satan thought he was dividing when it was the gospel that was actually dividing. And by the way, I could say this, the gospel always divides. That's what it said in 1 Corinthians 1:18. It's either foolishness or it's power. Where are you today on the side of the gospel? Is it power or is it foolishness? Oh, I've been praying that God would save a soul today through the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church and that He would get all the glory for it. Would you leave the side of foolishness today and would you join the side of power? Would you leave the side of darkness today and would you join the side of life today? That can happen by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel divides. It's believer or unbeliever. It's receiver or rejecter. Where are you? We see the powerful preaching. We see the perpetual persecution. But oh, we also see, number three, we see faithful missionaries. I like this. This is encouraging, I hope, to you today. We consider this last point, faithful missionaries. May we seek to exemplify, follow the example. Verse 3 says, notice the first two words, long time. See, isn't it amazing what's in one verse, in one passage? A long, long time. You know what? They didn't just go in stealth mode, say a few words because they knew everybody was mad, and then leave. No, it says a long time. They stood there boldly. Faithful. Consistent. Hey, you know, we learned about some leadership qualities the other day in our leadership seminar. Very helpful. And we talked about hand, head, and heart in the area of leadership. And you know what? That's so good to apply it right now to this point that you're working with somebody. It might take a long time. That's okay. Be bold, in love, in compassion. Speak the truth in love, but be faithful. Be faithful living what you're talking about. Be faithful speaking that you're speaking and you're living that they match. But we have to let someone know that we care before we tell them everything sometimes. They got to know we care. Then they'll be more willing to listen to what we believe. So, long time. Faithfulness. Speaking boldly in the name of the Lord, which gave them testimony under the word of His grace. Granted, they were granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. We believe in the early church that there was supernatural, miraculous power, that were sign gifts that were given that I believe have gone away and done away. Because why? Because we have the entire word of God now. 1 Corinthians 13 talks to us about that. That which is in part will be done away. So they've done miracles. They've preached boldly. And there's jealousy there. But they stay at it. Look at verse 6. They were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. You see, This gospel ministry is not an instant ministry. The ministry of the gospel, we must have the power of God, but it takes time. I know I've mentioned this before, and I don't mean to be humorous, but I know that we can have instant potatoes. That's not how it always happens in the work of the Lord. I want to encourage us in 2021, stay faithful. There will come a time in some places that we are witnessing or some people that we're witnessing to, we never stop praying. But it's as if that door is closed right now. You know what? A closed door means there's another open door somewhere else. Don't stop because a door closes. That's what Paul and Barnabas on this journey teach us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15-16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. These men preach with fervency. Robert Murray McShane said, I preached as if uncertain to ever preach again, as a dying man to a dying man. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, but even after that we had suffered before, were shamefully entreated. As ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Bold as a lion. Consistently preaching the same message in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we don't need anything new. Need faithfulness. Maybe you've read this before. I've read it before, and it challenges me every time. Would you listen to an excerpt from the diary of John Wesley? Sunday, a.m., May 5. Preached in St. Anne's. Was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday, p.m., May 5. Preached in St. John's. Deacons said, get out and stay out. Sunday, a.m., May 12. Preached in St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday, a.m., May 19. Preached in St. Somebody Else's. I thought that was cute. Meaning, it doesn't matter what the name of the saint was. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday, p.m., May 19. Preached on street, kicked off street. Sunday, May 26th, this is a good one, preached in meadow, chased out of meadow as bull was turned loose during the service. I'm watching for any bulls around here. I thought I saw one coming. Sunday, a.m., June 2nd, preached at the edge of town, kicked off highway. I can't catch a break. Sunday, p.m., June 2nd, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. From May 5th to June 2nd, over and over and over and over. Preaching faithfully. Boldness is essential to victory. Boldness is the quality that makes you go through and I go through when we face resistance. The gospel is always going to be resisted. What I mean by that is the enemy is always going to put up a fight. Therefore, we need to have the boldness of men like Paul, men like Barnabas, men like Peter, men like John, the boldness of a John Wesley, to just continue to be faithful to what God has called us to do. The boldness of modern day missionaries that we are so privileged to support here at Anchor Baptist Church. The boldness of a Jim Daly to go pioneering about 50 years ago. He would go and take his family with him to the most Muslim country in all the world. He paved a way. God used him to pave a way through Bible college students and churches being planted. His footprint is all over the islands of Indonesia. But it took boldness. I was there many years ago, as I said, and the first morning that I was in his home, I was awakened by the call to prayer, and it wasn't from the Independent Baptist Church. It was from the mosque nearby, because they're everywhere. And yet here's this, at that time, late 60s, maybe early 70s, not sure the timeline, his dear bride, empty nesters now, still serving the Lord boldly, witnessing all over as we could. Dear church, we need some boldness as a lion. We need to allow God to let us keep planting and watering that we so speak. It's not our words, but it's backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they say, get out and don't come back, we go to the next place with compassion, with concern, with that same boldness. I wonder this afternoon, as the service is just about to end, I wonder, those of you that are on the online today, is there anyone that might not know Christ as Savior? You're listening right now and you say, Pastor Turner, if I died right now, I do not know if I'd be in heaven. I can't see your hand if you raised it. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. You don't have that capability right now. But we do have the capability of you communicating with me through the church website. Say, Pastor Turner, I don't know if I'm saved. I need to be saved. Would you reach out to me today? I don't have any words to give you from me, but I'll give you the word of God. Bring a salvation to all who believe. Maybe today you're dealing with some bitterness from the beginning of the lesson earlier today, and you're still dealing with it. Don't hold on to it. It's only going to bring you trouble.